Hello, fellow Vikings fans. I'm Scotty Ball, and thanks as always for visiting those of us here with Vikings Digital Diaries at thesportsdaily.com for another and somewhat, you know, unfortunately final episode for this football season of the Wednesday War Room, taking place here on Thursday, of course, you know, because that's how we work. But anyway, joining me for the last time this season on this podcast, hopefully we'll find some other stuff to do in between now and next season, my co-host with the utmost, the one and only fantasy football guru extraordinaire, Miles Gorham. How you doing, Miles?
I'm good, Scotty. I'm disappointed it's the last one, but, you know, let's try to get the people in championship weekend, you know, a victory.
That's right, exactly. That's what we're here to do. If you were fortunate enough to make it to your championship game in your fantasy football league this year, that's what we're here for, to try and help you make those right roster moves and decisions to pick up that elusive trophy or ring or paycheck or whatever it is you're playing for. Maybe it's just bragging rights. Or maybe you're in one of those leagues where, you know, the loser has this big, huge punishment, like they got to shave their head or, you know, something like that. And you're trying to avoid last place yet. hopefully we can help you accomplish right. That as well. Have you ever been in one of those leagues, Miles, where you get punishment for last place?
I haven't. It's kind of, I've been in the league with some buddies that's lasted for like 10 years. But we've never done anything like that, and I don't know why, but I think it'd be something that I'd be into, and I think it'd be pretty fun.
I agree. I think I might have to try and incorporate it into at least one or two leagues I'm in next year if I can get, you know, the board to approve it in the voting process or whatever.
Right.
But I just think it'd be an extra added way to make it a little fun. And it seems to be a growing popularity thing, at least from what I see from year to year in fantasy football. But before we get into everything we need to know for this week, I would like to quick recap what took place between Miles and myself in our weekly head-to-head matchup in week 15 off our picks. And I was heading into that game. It was a do or die. If Miles would have won, he's got a commanding lead. He's won the season series. If I win, you know, we might need to pick one more lineup yet. And lo and behold, the Scotty Ball team scored 59 points to the Miles Gorham team's 33-point performance. And I did pick up what seems like a very long overdue win for me. So if my math is correct, we are actually tied on our picks exactly, wins, losses, and we had a head-to-head tie as well. So while the audience, you know, won't get to find out next week, you know, unless they keep track at home, I think we should close this show with our picks as usual so that, you know, I can send you a message Sunday night or Monday night, depending on who we got, and, you know, claim a champion between the two of us. Are you down for picking one more set at the end of the show this week, Miles?
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Well, let's start discussing then some of the things that we're going to be taking into consideration in choosing our lineups this week, whether it be our head-to-head one here that we do for fun, or your league that you're in. And we always start with our favorite team, as long as they're not on bye, that being the Minnesota Vikings. And the Vikings coming off a very just detrimental, heartbreaking, didn't quite see it coming in that big of a blowout type of loss to the Indianapolis Colts at US Bank Stadium last Sunday. And this week they go on the road to the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field to take on our bitter border rivals, the Green Bay Packers, in some rare Saturday football, as with the holidays falling where they fall this weekend, most of the NFL games taking place this week are in fact taking place on Saturday. There are two games on Sunday and the regular Monday night game as well, but the majority of games are taking place on Saturday this week, and the Vikings are in that majority. They have a noon o'clock start out in Green Bay. Green Bay has been rolling. Their defense seems to have improved a little bit over the last several weeks. Their offense definitely seems to be clicking more now than it was the first half of the year. And then on the Vikings side, it's just a lot of the same pretty much all year. Offense struggles, defense is really good, but, you know, can't win every game for them just in one phase. From a fantasy standpoint, who are you really excited about in this Vikings-Packers game, and do you have any big names maybe after that that we're looking to avoid for some reason.
Yeah, it's pretty unfortunate that I'm not gonna name a lot of Vikings players that I'm excited about this week. But
right.
I mean, there's a few injuries. I this isn't a guy I'd be relying on in my championship, but sounds like Adrian Peterson has now a groin injury to go along with his rehabbing the knee. It sounds like he's probably not going to go anyways. I would just expect him not to at this point. He hasn't practiced the last 2 days.
That's ironic how he got an injury right after we basically fell out of playoff contention.
I don't like to look at it that way, but I mean, I do feel like things were a little bit rushed trying to get him back.
Sure.
And I definitely think not his presence, but I think him being back did affect the offense a little bit last week just because we're so used to having him be the focal point of the offense. And, you know, most if not the entire season, he hasn't been, obviously because he's been out. But mm-hmm. I also just think that the way the offense had to adapt based off of the offensive line and all the injuries, I don't know how involved Peterson would have been anyways. I mean, obviously, I think the running game would be a lot better if he had played all season. But anyways, I don't want to get into too much about and make this an Adrian Peterson podcast.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But, yeah, so he's a guy I'd be avoiding this week. Stephon Diggs, I guess he's got a hip injury. He was able to practice today, but on a limited basis. And even if he is good to go, I mean, although the Packers defense, he did shred them the first time they played for 9 catches, 182 yards, and a touchdown. Last week was the worst output he's had all season when he's played. Obviously, he missed a couple games, but he only had 2 catches for 13 yards last week against a terrible Colts pass defense.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really disappointing, especially for how often this team throws the ball, how dynamic Diggs is. But I mean, I do expect him to play, but he's a guy that I don't expect to be a, obviously as a fan, I want him to light it up and play great and help this team win. But as a fantasy football, person right now, speaking fantasy football strictly, he's not a guy I'd want to rely on right now.
What about Kyle Rudolph? Know he's, he's a tough decision. Like, sometimes he's great, sometimes he disappears. How do you feel about him this week?
Yeah, he was the only bright spot last week. He had 8 catches and 97 yards last week against the Colts. The only guy that really seemed to do anything on offense. And he's had a really good season. And I know a lot of people have been frustrating with this season just because of some of the key drops or key, situations where you might need him to make a play. He might not have, but he's putting together a career year for himself. I think the only thing he might not top this season is touchdowns, but he's already topped total receptions and yardage in his for highs in his career. And he's been so consistent this year, especially the last 4 weeks. He's topped more than 4. He's had 4 plus catches, and only one of those games he had just under 50 yards, but the rest have been 50 plus yards. So again, this Packers pass defense still isn't very great. I'd expect Rudolph to be a focal point, and he would, depending on your situation, he'd be a guy I'd start this week.
Yes. To me, in the years I've had Kyle Rudolph on my team, I've always had kind of a tight end by committee approach, where I try to get 2 good tight ends and then play the matchup.
Right.
And I definitely agree with you. I think Rudolph has a fairly good matchup and has been, pretty consistent for the most part throughout the season.
He has,
too.
Yeah.
So at least we got one good play that we're feeling about on the Viking side fantasy-wise. The other really strong fantasy play for the Vikings this year has been the defense / special teams. But then you look at last week, and they're at home, and they give up over 30 points and don't get a single sack. And you're just kind of wondering what's going on. Now we're going on the road against an offense that seems to have things figured out much better than they did the first time we played them at US Bank Stadium early in the year. How strong of a play do you think the Vikings' defense and special teams is this week? I mean, you're probably not going to sit them if you got them, but like, what's a reasonable expectation, I think?
Yeah, so for me, I think last week was an outlier. I don't think that's not the norm for this team. It's one of the only times this season this defense has given up that many points. I actually think that's the most they've given up all season. Yeah, it's the most points. It's the most points the team's given up all season. The most, the other high was 26 to Washington. Otherwise, it's been either the low 20s or the, you know, mid to low teens. I mean, I do know how well the Packers have been playing on offense as of late, on how, you know, not quite as poor or quite as well the defense has played overall, but it is a rivalry game. I know the Vikings would love to beat the Packers and kind of send them home. If, you know, the kind of mentality, it looked like Captain Marlin said earlier in the week, he said, if we can't go, they can't go. So let's beat them. So I would love, you know, obviously as a fan, I would love that to happen. But like you said, I'm still probably starting this defense, but I'd be a little cautious about it. And I'd try to potentially look for a better matchup overall.
Sure.
Just because of how well Rodgers is playing. They're at home, you know, the Packers are at home. They do seem to fare well against us in general anyways, even when we do play well. So it just might be a team I might want to avoid if there are better options. If not, obviously I'd make them safe enough to get you at least, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 points.
Sure.
I wouldn't expect them to put up a goose egg or, you know, negative, but I mean, we said that last week. So
right.
I guess that's the only thing that worries me is them losing last week against the Colts. In pretty much a must-win game, you know, for a chance to go to the playoffs. This is they would need a lot of help to make the playoffs besides winning out. So I don't expect them to lay a goose egg, but at the same time, it wouldn't come to a shock to me if they, you know, they let the Packers put up 30 points.
Right, it wouldn't shock me either. Quick, before we go and talk about some of the Packer potential in this game, just curious on your thoughts. Yeah, unfortunately, we can keep it pretty lean. I agree with you, but just curious what your thoughts are on how much you take into consideration some of the outside factors this time of year, such as, you know, the weather conditions, whether the game's indoors or outdoors, stuff like that. Do you think that maybe the weather and the conditions and the climate in Lambeau this week could play into a possibly lower scoring game, or do you think that's usually something that's just, you know, flip a coin?
I would definitely, especially for a championship type week, or you know, the week that is the championship week, I'd probably be looking at forecasts right now just to see what it could be like at somewhere like Lambeau. And it looks like right now it's going to be supposed to be like 34 degrees and fairly sunny.
That's nice.
Not really much a chance of snow or rain or anything like that. So that is nice. I mean, 34 degrees in the NFL with the way these guys dress and the stuff they can wear, and you know, after all the moving around, it'd pretty much be like any normal game. So I wouldn't use it as a factor this week against the Vikings-Packer game, but I definitely look at other outdoor games this week and see what kind of weather could be a factor.
Sure, absolutely. I think it doesn't hurt at least to check it out and consider, you know, the matchups, because a lot of times you'll end up maybe with some increased turnovers, defensive points, you know, things like that. Like it can affect the fantasy point totals. I'm not saying it will. It's, you know, you never know.
Right.
But it's worth taking a peek at. So as far as Packers in this game, we're hoping they don't, you know, get too many yards or score too many points. I'm liking Ty Montgomery, personally, from a fantasy standpoint, in this matchup this week. Obviously, Rodgers has been a strong play pretty much his whole career, let alone the past several weeks. This year, how do you feel about the rest of that Packers offense from a fantasy output this week? Like the Jordy Nelsons, the Randall Cobbs, those guys.
Yeah, well, for me, I like you mentioned, Ty Montgomery is a good thought. He's probably a guy that you want to start this week. I mean, he put up monster numbers last week. If you started him, you're probably in the championship this week. I mean, he had what, like, I think it was 170, 160 yards and 2 touchdowns, and then to go with a couple of receptions. So
mm-hmm. he lit yeah, it up last week. Especially if you're in a PPR league. Yep.
Exactly. So if you, he's a guy that I would probably go after and start, because 162 yards. But yeah, he's a guy I'd probably be starting because I would expect the Packers to feature him often in this one after last week.
Yep.
He'll be their feature back, and the Vikings have struggled against the run this season. They've been, I think, average, if not, you know, just slightly below average, so right in that range. I expect the Packers to run the ball quite a bit to try to establish that. And then a guy like Jordy Nelson to me is the other one that he leads the league in touchdowns. I think, yeah, he should lead the league in touchdowns this season and receiving touchdowns.
Okay.
I think he's got 12, so which is a lot. He scored against the Vikings the first time they played. He'd be a guy for me if they can get him in the right matchup. You know, they're going to try to take advantage of it. And he's their deep threat. So.
What about Cobb? Do you like Cobb's ability to maybe rack up some yak? Up, I guess. I don't know.
Cobb's another one of those guys that like, kind of like who's a few guys like. Some inconsistencies, like a DeAndre Hopkins.
Sure.
You know, the Allen Hurns or
Will Fuller,
Allen
this
Robinson
year,
guys.
If you want to stay
Will
with
Fuller,
the Texans.
Yeah. All those guys, that, some of the inconsistencies with those guys, that's kind of what Cobb's been. Last week, he didn't have a reception against Chicago. He's got one touchdown in the last 6 weeks. He's topped 50-plus yards in once in the last 7 weeks, 8 weeks. So, I would be surprised if he scored, you know, he vultured a touchdown or something like that. But I don't know. For me, if you have any better options, I'd probably try to look that way.
Okay.
Captain Munderman always plays fairly well against slot receivers as well. So
totally. Do you think that Davante Adams is a better play this week than
that
Michael
would
Cobb?
Be? I do. I think that would be the better option. He seems to be higher on the pecking order than Randall Cobb is anyways.
I agree.
So, and then there's Jared Cook. I can't remember. Double check just to make sure he's not hurt, because you never know with him. But
right.
looks like he's good to go. I don't know if you'd be relying on him this week. Because he's another one of those guys who's been up and down. He's been out of the lineup for a while, but he had a good week last week against Chicago. 6 catches for 85 yards. So,
and I think he's got a decent chance to vulture a couple touchdowns inside
right,
the red zone.
Yep.
When that offense is clicking. So if you need to consider him as an option, yeah, I wouldn't.
Well,
wouldn't be super worried about it.
Yeah, right. And the Vikings have struggled against tight ends this season, so
yes,
that's something
have.
To keep an eye on.
Absolutely. All right. Well. Before we look at some more of the games on the schedule and some of the other players that we really like or maybe really don't like this week, let's stick with kind of the injury and the health status of people. I know I had some issues with my team last week with Julio Jones being questionable and then being ruled out eventually before his game on Sunday. I heard on the radio today that A.J. Green should be back playing for the Bengals this week in their game. What are some of the big name injury updates that you got for us?
Yeah, so you had mentioned Julio and AJ Green, who are two of the biggest names. It sounds like you said, AJ Green's going to be a go this week, which kind of scares me. I don't know if I'd rather have had him be out this week because of the scary idea that the fact that people might have to rely on him this week and he might not put up the numbers you'd hope he would because he's not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he's a guy, if he's good to go, you're starting him because he's going to be their number one target, and he should get some opportunities. And then it sounds like for Julio Jones, he's expected to play against Carolina, too. So he's another one, again, you're kind of like in that middle range where, obviously, I mean, these big-name guys, when they're healthy, you start them, but they're kind of on that fringe of being healthy and kind of still being banged up.
Yep.
Which is most players at this time of the season, but coming off injury, it's always a scary thing. But they're both guys I'm probably starting this week just because of who they are and how effective they are. Julio probably the one guy that scared me more than AJ, just because
okay.
of the there are definitely more weapons around more weapons around in Atlanta than there are in Cincinnati.
Absolutely.
So it's a little easier to to mask and get away with not killing a guy like Julio.
One thing I'd like to add to that too, or like for me, I agree, I'm a little more scared or concerned with Julio than AJ, is the Bengals are out of the playoff race. So they've got these last two games where they're, you know, trying to play hard and keep jobs and, you know, all kinds of different stuff. And then you've got the Falcons, who are looking at a probable playoff berth, whether it be winning the division or the second wild card spot. So it, to me, if there is concern with Julio physically, it would make more sense for them to, you know, use him really light and not want to risk further injury, you know, and have him completely out in 2 weeks for a playoff game. So just, I don't know, it seems to me that's another one of those things I never know quite how much to take this time of year. A lot of times I like having guys on teams that have nothing to play for, because they're still playing hard, you know.
Right.
Like, whereas you got the guys on playoff teams, and it's all, oh, we got to keep them healthy, and blah blah blah, and you know. So I don't know. That's just another reason why I would be a little more inclined to go AJ than Julio this week. But I've got Julio on some teams, and
yeah,
I'm gonna need to know if I can play him or not at some point. So just have to keep
an eye. It's also unfortunate because AJ Green's got a little tougher of a matchup than Julio does. They're playing. The Bengals are playing the Texans, who have some pretty good corners, and
they've had a top pass defense all year.
Yeah, and then Atlanta's playing Carolina, who, you know, again, last time Julio played Carolina, he had 300 yards receiving.
Yeah. Yep, it was the monster game.
I wouldn't expect that to happen this week, but I wouldn't be surprised if he had a pretty decent game. Or, you know, you're hoping he vultures, you know, not vultures, but you're hoping he gets a touchdown or something, you know.
So. Absolutely. Let's stick with that game for just a little bit. Because I had a coworker talking to me about a free agent pickup that he made this week, a wide receiver from the Falcons with the last name Gabriel. He's been putting up some pretty good numbers. Do you think that this week, you know, having seen that the Panthers are very susceptible against the pass and not knowing, you know, how much they're going to want to work and use Julio or what he'll even be capable of doing health-wise, do you think that this is another one of those weeks where someone like Gabriel in Atlanta could be one of those lesser-known names that has a really productive week?
Yeah, so he's the guy that's been a big beneficiary of Julio being out. So, again, I don't know how much it'll affect his opportunities with Julio being back, but he's got five touchdowns in the last five games. So it's really hard. I know I played him last week in one of my leagues to go help me get to the championship, but and he got a touchdown and 60 yards for me. So
yeah.
he played well, and he's been playing very well. It's tough because he's kind of it's like you look at the pecking order. Obviously Devontae Freeman's kind of their the number one focal point in that offense, but then you got Julio and Mohamed Sanu, and then now Taylor Gabriel. So the pecking order is kind of different, and I was watching the game. I watched the game last week because I was watching Gabriel specifically, and he wasn't really in the two wide receiver sets. It was Mohamed Sanu and Aldrick Robinson. Obviously, that was switched to be Julio and Mohamed Sanu in the two wide receiver sets, and then Gabriel would probably come in the three. But I don't know. It's tough. I mean, Gabriel's played so well, and they've made him a big part of the offense. So he might be a guy that you want to consider as a flex this week.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Devontae Freeman, in Atlanta, he's been having some big games here lately too. Do you think he's going to keep that going in that Panthers game?
I would expect so. He's the best offensive player not named Julio Jones. And he's still one of the better running backs in the league right now, and he had a really good game last week, so with the three touchdowns. So I like him a lot this week against Carolina. Carolina's still banged up. They're not sure if Luke Kuechly is going to go. So that's definitely a key there, too, is no Luke Kuechly, and I wouldn't expect him to even be 100% if he was still good to go. So, yeah, I do love Devontae Freeman this week. I mean, if you have him, you're going to start him either way.
Right, of course. And then I don't know. Let's take a look at Matt Ryan quick then while we're there. With the uncertainty with Julio, and that, in my opinion, the best running back tandem in the National Football League in Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, do you think, I mean, you're probably rolling with Matt Ryan if you got him on your team this year, but there's a good chance that you drafted a quarterback above Matt Ryan also if you've got Matt Ryan on your team, maybe like a Drew Brees or a Ben Roethlisberger or who knows. How strong is Matt Ryan of a play this week on the road with, you know, that uncertainty that we mentioned?
Well, yeah, so I think to me it would depend on who you have as your other quarterback, if you do have another quarterback, because at this point there probably hasn't been a lot of quarterbacks that have played better than Matt Ryan in terms of, you know, regular play or fantasy play. So by this point you might have even traded somebody. You trade your other quarterback because of Matt Ryan, you know,
sure,
for the name
sure.
value. Again, you know, this is all hypothetical. You never know people's situations, but I just think Matt Ryan's a great play. He's been so consistent all season. I don't think there's been many games where he hasn't, you know, had double-digit points. Let's see, just a double check. I think there hasn't been one game where he hasn't gotten double-digit points, at least in my ESPN link that I'm looking up right now. So,
and that doesn't surprise me. I look back to the week when they were on the road in Denver and what he did that week, and that was kind of the, you know, okay, this guy's for real, don't doubt
him
kind
of
moment for
that
me.
That was one of his worst. That was one of his worst fantasy games of the season.
Yeah.
and he played that well. So I'd roll him, again, depending on who you have. You know, the only other guys you might want to roll ahead of him would potentially be like a Rodgers, Philip Rivers, some of those guys. But even then, I'm still, you know, Matt Ryan's probably helped. If you've made it this far with Matt Ryan, he's been a big reason for it. So
sure.
I'd roll with him.
Sure. One of those not to overthink. If he got you there, keep riding him type of thing.
Right.
I can agree with that. All right. Well, who are maybe some of the other, you know, guys like a Matt Ryan that you're really confident about carrying your team, you know, in this championship week here, not just based off of what they've done so far this season, but also based off the matchup. But on paper, it looks really good.
Yeah, so Jameis Winston, I think he's played pretty well. I think they struggled last week a little bit in their
That was the Cowboys game, yep. That was the Cowboys game against the Cowboys.
I mean, he played up and down, but he's their guy. They're in New Orleans, so I'd expect, and they need to win this game. They're trying to either win the NFC South or, you know, make the playoffs through the wild card. So this is kind of another one of those. They're one of the must-win teams, so they want to keep it going. So he's a guy I think that could end up lighting up and playing pretty well. That's pretty much besides the, you know, the Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan's and Aaron Rodgers that we talked about before. Those are the quarterbacks I kind of really like this week.
Okay,
let me see one more. Mariota, they're another team. They need to win. They need to beat Jacksonville. They're in Jacksonville. So, I mean, I don't know. Mariota scares me a little bit more just because I think Jacksonville's played pretty well as of late.
Passing, I agree, especially
passing
against the pass.
Defense has been good.
Yep.
Right. So that might worry me a little bit, but what I like about a guy like Mariota or Russell Wilson is they also get you yards on the ground.
Yep.